All right, welcome to your deep dive. So it looks like Spain is calling your name for retirement.
It does seem that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sent us quite a collection of articles and guides about retiring to Spain from the UK. So
Yeah.
we've got a lot to unpack. I
Absolutely.
think we should just dive right in.
Let's do it.
Okay. So our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to figure out what it really takes to make this dream a reality, especially in a post-Brexit world.
Yes, and it's 2025 now, so we can't ignore that elephant in the room.
No, absolutely not. And that's something we'll definitely need to unpack. But before we get bogged down in the Brexit bureaucracy, let's start with the good stuff. Why Spain is such a magnet for retirees in the first place?
Right. It's easy to see why Spain is so popular.
Yeah. So paint us a picture. What is it about Spain that makes it such a retirement hotspot?
Well, picture this. Sunny Mediterranean beaches, a slower pace of life.
Siestas.
Siestas, exactly. Delicious food, vibrant culture.
Okay, you're speaking my language now. But beyond the sunshine and siestas, what makes Spain a practical and appealing choice for retirees, especially compared to the UK?
Well, one of the biggest draws is affordability, especially when it comes to housing. The sources we're looking at consistently point out that your money goes a lot further in Spain than it does in the UK.
That makes a big difference, especially when you're on a fixed income. What about the cost of living in general?
Generally speaking, it tends to be lower in Spain, although it does depend on where you choose to live. And then there's the healthcare system, which is ranked among the best in Europe. That's a huge factor for retirees.
Absolutely. Peace of mind when it comes to health is priceless. Now, the sources mentioned that Spain is home to millions of expats.
It is over 8.7 million expats, to be precise.
Wow, that's a lot of people choosing Spain as their new home. And a good chunk of them are British, right?
Yes, absolutely. Even after Brexit, Spain remains a popular choice for British retirees. In fact, over 130,000 British nationals chose to retire there just last year in 2024.
It's interesting that despite the hurdles Brexit has created, so many Brits are still drawn to Spain. What's driving that continued popularity, do you think?
Well, I think a big part of it is the sense of community. Many retirees are looking for a place where they can connect with others who share their language and culture. And Spain already has a well-established British expat community, so there's that social aspect.
That makes sense. That built-in support system can be really valuable, especially when you're adjusting to a new life in a new country. And of course, the climate is a major draw. Who wouldn't want to swap gray skies for sunshine? But the sources also mentioned some specific Andalusian towns that are particularly popular with British retirees, not just the usual coastal suspects.
Yes, they highlight places like Malaga, Marbella, or Nerja. These towns offer a combination of stunning scenery, a relaxed lifestyle, and a more affordable cost of living compared to some of the bigger, more well-known coastal areas.
Okay, so far, Spain is sounding pretty idyllic. Sunshine, beaches, a slower pace of life, affordable living. But we can't ignore the Brexit elephant in the room any longer. We are in 2025, and things have definitely changed for UK citizens wanting to live in Spain.
You are absolutely right. Brexit has definitely added some complexity.
So let's break it down. What are the key changes that UK retirees need to be aware of now?
Well, the most significant change is that UK citizens are no longer EU citizens. That means they need visas for long-term stays in Spain.
So no more just packing your bags and moving freely.
Not exactly. The sources all mention this 90-day rule. Essentially, without a visa, UK citizens can only stay in Spain for a maximum of 90 days within any 180-day period.
Okay, so popping over for a long holiday is still possible. But if you're dreaming of spending your retirement years in Spain, 90 days just won't cut it. What are the options for those who want to make Spain their permanent home?
Well, for retirees specifically, there's the non-lucrative visa. This visa is designed for people who can support themselves financially without working in Spain. It allows you to live in Spain, but you can't hold a job there.
Ah, so no Spanish paychecks to go with those Spanish siestas? That could be a deal breaker for some.
You're right, it's a major consideration. But for those who might want to work remotely, perhaps for companies outside of Spain, there's the digital nomad visa, which we can discuss a bit later.
Okay, so there are options depending on your circumstances, but let's focus on this non-lucrative visa for now. What are the financial requirements? What kind of hoops do you have to jump through to qualify?
Well, you need to prove that you have sufficient financial resources to support yourself without relying on Spanish benefits. And they don't just take your word for it. The Spanish authorities want to see the evidence.
Show me the money. Right. So what exactly are we talking about? What kind of proof do you need?
They want to see things like 6 months of bank statements, proof of pension income, that kind of thing. And of course, there are specific income requirements.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty then. What are those income requirements?
For a single applicant, you need to prove an annual income of at least $30,244.
Okay, and what does that work out to on a monthly basis?
That's roughly $2,646 per month.
So enough for a comfortable life, but not exactly living like royalty. What if you have a spouse or dependents? Does that change the financial requirements?
It does, yes. For each dependent you add to the application, you need to show an additional $7,560,000 per year.
Okay, so the costs can add up quickly. It sounds like you need to have your financial ducks in a row before even thinking about applying for this visa. What about employment history? Do you need to show any proof of that?
Yes, you do. You need to demonstrate that you've had at least 3 months of work history with a contract that's valid for at least another year.
Okay, so you can't just waltz in straight out of university or from a brand new startup.
Exactly. Or, if you're a graduate, you can provide proof of your graduation. And for those working for a foreign company, that company needs to have been operating for at least a year.
So there's some checks in place.
Yeah.
All right, we've talked about the financial side of things, but I'm sure everyone wants to know about healthcare. Spain is known for having a great public healthcare system. So how does that work for UK retirees?
Well, there are a couple of options. If you're receiving a UK state pension and meet certain requirements, you may be eligible for Spain's public healthcare system through the S1 form.
So if you qualify for the S1, you can access the Spanish healthcare system just like a Spanish citizen.
Essentially, yes.
That sounds pretty good. Oh. Is that the only option, though? What about private health insurance?
Private health insurance is definitely an option, and in fact, even those who are eligible for the public system often choose to get private insurance as well.
Why would someone choose to pay for private insurance when they have access to public health care?
A few reasons. It often comes down to potential wait times. While the public system is excellent overall, there can sometimes be longer waits for certain procedures or treatments. Private insurance can offer quicker access.
Okay, so it's about choice and maybe a bit more peace of mind. But is private insurance mandatory in any situations?
Yes, it is. If you're not eligible for the S1 form, then private health insurance is mandatory. You won't be able to get your visa without it. And also, if you are on the digital nomad visa and using the Beckham Law regime.
Got it. So if you're not using the public system, you absolutely need to factor private healthcare costs into your budget. Okay, so we've tackled the visa and healthcare hurdles. Now let's talk about the big T taxes.
All right, taxes.
Everyone's favorite topic.
Right.
It's complicated enough in your own country, but when you're retiring to another country, it gets even more complex. So break it down for us. What are the key things that UK retirees need to know about navigating the Spanish tax system?
Well, first and foremost, you need to understand tax residency. If you spend 183 days or more in Spain in a calendar year, you're considered a tax resident of Spain.
Okay, so more than half the year and you're in. What does that actually mean practically?
It means you're liable for Spanish taxes on your worldwide income, not just income you earn in Spain.
So even your UK pension could be taxed in Spain.
It could be, yes. But don't worry, there's good news. Spain and the UK have a double taxation treaty.
Okay, that's a relief. I was about to panic. What does that treaty actually mean for UK retirees?
It means you won't be taxed twice on the same income, so you won't pay tax on your UK pension in both the UK and Spain.
Okay, that makes sense. But even with the treaty, I imagine there's still a lot of nuances and details to sort out. For instance, the sources mentioned that UK pensions are taxed differently depending on the type of pension.
Yes, that's right. If you're receiving a UK state pension, that's still taxed in the UK, even if you're living in Spain.
Okay, so that stays under the UK tax umbrella. What about private pensions?
Private pensions are generally taxed in Spain once you become a resident there.
Got it. So your state pension stays in the UK system. And your private pension falls under the Spanish system. Makes sense. What about other types of income? Let's say you have rental income from a property back in the UK. Where is that taxed?
That's a good question. Rental income from a UK property is still taxed in the UK. But here's the thing. You also need to declare it in Spain on your Spanish tax return.
Oh, so it doesn't just slip under the radar because it's coming from the UK?
No, it doesn't. But the good news is that you can claim a credit for the UK tax you've already paid on that rental income. That way, you're not being double taxed.
That's good to know. Okay, what about investment income? Things like dividends from UK stocks?
That type of income is generally taxed in Spain if you're a tax resident there.
Okay, so it's really important to understand all these different income sources and how they're taxed in both countries.
Absolutely. It can get complicated quickly, especially when you're dealing with two different tax systems.
All right, so let's talk about the actual Spanish tax rates.
Yeah.
What kind of percentages are we looking at here?
Well, Spain has what's called a progressive tax system. That means that the more you earn, the higher percentage of tax you pay.
Okay, that's pretty standard in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
But give us the range. What are the actual tax brackets?
The rates start at 19% and go all the way up to 47%, depending on your income level.
Okay, so that's a pretty wide range. And then, just to make things even more interesting, the sources mentioned something called a wealth tax.
Yes, the wealth tax. That's something to be aware of, especially if you have significant assets.
All right, tell us more about this wealth tax. Who does it apply to?
It applies to individuals with global assets over $700,000.
Wow, $700,000. So this isn't something that's going to affect everyone. It's really targeted at wealthier retirees. Does this make Spain less attractive for high net worth individuals?
It's certainly something to consider. While Spain has a lot to offer, the wealth tax can be a significant factor for those with substantial assets.
So it's not all just sunshine and sangria. You need to think strategically about your finances.
You do. And there are ways to potentially mitigate the wealth tax through careful planning, but it's really important to get advice from a tax specialist who understands both the UK and Spanish tax systems.
Okay, so having the right expert on your team is crucial. Now, what about property taxes? We haven't really touched on those yet.
Right, those are important too. In Spain, there's the IBI, which is an annual property tax. It's similar to council tax in the UK.
Okay, so that's something you'll need to budget for every year. Anything else?
Yes. There's also the plusvalía. This one is a bit different. It's a tax on the increase in land value when you sell a property.
Ah, so even if you make a profit on your Spanish property, you might have to share some of that with the local municipality.
That's the gist of it, yes. Now, we mentioned the digital nomad visa earlier as an alternative to the non-lucrative visa. Do you want to dive into that a bit now?
Yes, let's talk about that. It sounds like an intriguing option, especially for people who want to maintain some flexibility and maybe continue working a bit, even in retirement.
It is. It's designed specifically for people who work remotely for companies or clients outside of Spain. So you can live in Spain and still earn income from abroad.
So you can enjoy the Spanish lifestyle while still working. What's the catch?
Well, there are some requirements, of course. One key requirement is that no more than 20% of your income can come from Spanish sources.
Okay, so it's really geared towards those who are working for foreign companies. What about the financial requirements? Are they similar to the non-lucrative visa?
They're somewhat similar. You still need to prove you have sufficient income to support yourself, usually through bank statements and employment contracts. However, there's a really interesting perk with the digital nomad visa, the Beckham Law regime.
The Beckham Law, like David Beckham. Is
Exactly.
he giving out tax breaks now?
Well, not exactly, but the law is named after him because it was initially designed to attract high-earning individuals like him to Spain.
Okay, that makes sense. So what does this Beckham Law actually do?
It allows you to pay a flat 24% tax rate on your income for the first 5 years of your residency in Spain.
Hold on a second. A flat 24%. Didn't you say the Spanish tax rates go up to 47%?
I did, yes. But under the Beckham Law, you can cap your tax rate at 24% on income up to 600,000 jamals. That's a significant difference.
That's a huge difference. So, can anyone with a digital nomad visa take advantage of this Beckham Law?
Not automatically. You do need to meet specific requirements and apply for it separately, but it's definitely worth exploring, especially if you're a higher earner. The potential tax savings are pretty substantial.
Absolutely worth looking into. All right, so let's say you've chosen your visa path, whether it's the non-lucrative visa or the digital nomad visa. What practical steps do you need to take before you can actually pack your bags and move to Spain?
Well, the first and most crucial step is applying for your chosen visa through the Spanish consulate in your home country. And be prepared, there's going to be some paperwork involved.
Paperwork. When is there not paperwork when you're moving to another country? But okay, so start with the visa application. What else do you need to do before waving goodbye to the UK?
Sorting out your healthcare arrangements is really important. You'll need to either apply for the S1 form for public healthcare, if you're eligible, or secure private health insurance before you arrive in Spain.
Got it. Visa and healthcare. Check, check. Now, what about once you've actually landed in Spain? What are the immediate must-dos?
First things first, you'll need to open a Spanish bank account. That's essential for day-to-day life, paying bills, receiving income.
Okay, bank account, check. Anything else?
Yes. You'll also need to register your address at the local town hall. It's called empadronamiento.
Empadronamiento.
It's basically registering yourself as a resident in your new Spanish town or city. It's essential for accessing all sorts of services and benefits.
Okay, bank account and address registration. What about the visa itself? Do you get a physical document once you arrive?
You do. You'll receive a TAE card, which stands for Tarjeta de Identidad de Extranjero, or Foreigner Identity Card.
Okay, so that's like your official ID card in Spain.
Exactly. You'll need to apply for this at the police station once you're settled.
So, another appointment to add to the to-do list.
It is, but it's all part of the process. Now, one thing the sources really stressed was the importance of getting professional advice when making this move. They highly recommend consulting with tax professionals who understand both the UK and Spanish systems.
That makes sense. Navigating all these tax rules and regulations in two different countries can be really overwhelming, especially for someone who's not a tax expert.
Exactly. A good tax advisor can help you optimize your tax strategy and ensure you're complying with all the rules.
Sounds like money well spent. All right, so let's zoom out a bit and talk about overall financial planning. What key points did the sources emphasize for UK retirees moving to Spain?
One of the most important things to consider is the Spanish tax year. Unlike the UK, which has a tax year from April to April, Spain's tax year runs from January to December.
Ah, so the timing of your move could actually have a big impact on your tax liability.
It could, yes. So it's worth planning carefully. Another thing they highlighted was the potential for capital gains tax savings.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
If you strategically time the sale of your assets, either before or after becoming a Spanish resident, you might be able to minimize your capital gains tax.
Ah, so even within the rules, there's some room for smart maneuvering.
Exactly. But it's really important to get advice from a specialist who can assess your individual circumstances and guide you on the best approach.
Makes sense. Any other financial planning nuggets of wisdom from the sources?
Yes, this is a big one. Don't assume that what was tax efficient in the UK will automatically be tax efficient in Spain.
Okay, good point. Give us an example.
Well, take those individual savings accounts, ISAs, that are so popular in the UK.
Yeah, everyone loves their ISAs.
They lose their tax-free status once you're no longer a UK resident.
Oh, so that comfortable nest egg you've been building up in your ISA might not be so comfortable anymore in Spain. That's a bit of a shock.
It can be, yes. And it's just one example of why getting specialized cross-border financial advice is so important. You need an expert who can look at your whole financial picture and advise you on the most tax-efficient way to structure your assets for your new life in Spain.
All right, specialized advice is sounding better and better all the time. Now let's circle back to pensions. We know that pensions can be a bit of a minefield for expats. What specific insights did the sources offer on pension planning for UK retirees in Spain?
Right. So as we touched upon earlier, your UK occupational and state pensions are taxed in Spain once you become a resident there. But they made a really important point about lump sum withdrawals from pensions. Those are fully taxable in Spain.
Oh, so if you're planning to take a lump sum from your pension, it might be better to do it before moving to Spain.
It might be, yes. It's definitely something to consider and discuss with a financial advisor. They also suggested looking into pension consolidation.
Pension consolidation.
Yeah, if you have multiple pensions from different employers, combining them into one could simplify things and potentially reduce the fees you're paying. They also mentioned QROPS, qualifying recognized overseas pension schemes.
QROPS. We touched on those briefly earlier. Those sounded pretty complex.
They can be, yes. They're basically an option for transferring your UK pension overseas, but the rules and the tax implications can be quite tricky, especially if you transfer your pension after becoming a Spanish tax resident. So it's really important to get professional guidance before making any decisions about QROPS.
Got it. Tread carefully with QROPS and get expert advice. Seems to be a recurring theme here.
It is. And one last thing they emphasize is that retirement, even in sunny Spain, still requires ongoing financial vigilance.
It's not all just sitting back and sipping sangria on the beach.
Well, you can do that too, of course. But they stress the importance of reviewing your savings and investments regularly to make sure they're still aligned with your goals and your risk tolerance.
Good point. Retirement isn't a set it and forget it scenario.
Exactly.
Okay, before we wrap up this part of the deep dive, there's another crucial aspect we need to cover. Estate planning.
Ah, yes. Estate planning. Not the most cheerful topic, but definitely important, especially when you're dealing with two different legal systems.
The sources we've been looking at highlighted the differences between Spanish and UK inheritance laws, which is something that a lot of people might not even think about. What are some of the key things that UK retirees need to be aware of?
Well, one of the most significant differences is something called forced heirship in Spain. This means that certain heirs, usually your spouse and children, are automatically entitled to a specific portion of your estate.
So you don't necessarily have complete control over who inherits what?
Not entirely, no, but you can plan around these rules with the right legal advice.
Okay, so it's not a complete roadblock, but it's definitely something to be aware of. Now, what about UK inheritance tax? If you're a UK citizen living in Spain, do you still have to worry about UK inheritance tax?
Yes, if you remain UK domiciled, you're still liable for UK inheritance tax on your worldwide assets, even if you're living in Spain.
So the UK taxman can still reach you, even if you're living in La Vida Loca in Spain.
That's right. And that's why the sources we've looked at suggested considering a change of domicile if you're really making Spain your permanent home. It's not a simple process, but it can have significant tax advantages.
Another thing to discuss with a professional then. So we've mentioned the need for professional advice at various points throughout this deep dive, but it can be overwhelming to know where to start. What specific types of professionals do the sources recommend?
They consistently emphasized finding tax specialists who have expertise in both UK and Spanish tax law. These are the people who can really guide you on things like residency, pensions, investments, and estate planning, making sure you're doing everything right in both countries.
So finding a bilingual tax advisor, someone who speaks both the language of finance and the legalese of both countries, is a must.
Absolutely. They also highlighted the value of financial advisors who are experienced in cross-border financial planning.
What would a financial advisor help with specifically?
They can help with things like structuring your assets, managing your investments, and planning for retirement income, all in a way that aligns with your goals and the Spanish tax system.
So, tax advisors and financial advisors, anyone else we should be adding to the dream team?
Legal professionals are definitely important, especially if you're dealing with complex estate planning or property transactions. Having a good Spanish lawyer can make sure all your affairs are in order and that you're complying with all the relevant laws.
Okay, so it sounds like building a team of experts is really crucial for a smooth transition to life in Spain.
It is. And the sources we've looked at also mentioned a number of organizations and websites that offer valuable information and support for UK retirees in Spain.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can you recommend a couple for our listener? Where should they start looking for more guidance?
One that they repeatedly highlighted was the European Emigration and Advisory Service. They offer a wealth of information on all sorts of things, from residency and healthcare to taxes and other practical aspects of moving to Spain.
Sounds like a great resource. Anything else?
They also recommended checking out the UK government's website, specifically the sections dedicated to living in Spain. They provide updates on post-Brexit rules and regulations and often have links to other helpful resources.
Okay, so the UK government website, and I assume the Spanish government website would be helpful as well.
Absolutely. That's a great source for information on things like visa requirements, healthcare access, and all the essentials for living in Spain.
Great. We'll make sure to include links to all these resources in the show notes for this deep dive so our listener can easily find them. Now, before we move on to our special guest in the final part of this deep dive, I wanted to touch on one more point that was raised in the sources. Prolonged absences from Spain.
Oh, yes. That's an important one.
It's something that a lot of people might not even think about. Just because you've got residency in Spain doesn't mean you can come and go as you please without any consequences.
Exactly. There are rules.
So what are those rules, generally speaking? How long can you be away from Spain without jeopardizing your residency status?
Generally, you need to spend at least 183 days per year in Spain to maintain your tax residency status. But it goes beyond just taxes. Extended periods of time outside of Spain can also affect your eligibility for things like permanent residency or citizenship down the line.
So if you're thinking of splitting your time between Spain and another country, you really need to think carefully about the implications.
Absolutely. And the specific rules and requirements can get complex, so it's always best to consult with a legal professional to make sure you're staying on the right side of the law.
Sounds like another case where professional advice is invaluable.
It is.
All right. Speaking of professional advice, in the final part of this deep dive, we'll be joined by a leading expert on Spanish property law. They'll be able to give us even deeper insights into the legal and financial intricacies of buying and owning property in Spain.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too. Welcome back to your deep dive into retiring to Spain from the UK. We've covered a lot of ground already, but there's one more big piece of the puzzle we need to explore before we bring in our special guest. Spanish property.
Ah, yes, property. It's often a key part of the retirement dream, especially for those moving to Spain. I mean, who wouldn't want to wake up to sunshine and maybe a view of the Mediterranean?
I know, I wouldn't mind that one bit. But before we get swept away by those idyllic visions, let's get down to brass tacks. What are the legal and financial ins and outs of buying and owning property in Spain? What do UK retirees need to know?
Well, to guide us through this complex and often confusing world, we have a fantastic guest joining us for this final part of the deep dive. A leading expert on Spanish property law.
Perfect timing, because I'm sure many of our listeners are already picturing themselves sipping sangria on their Spanish terrace.
I know I am. But let's bring in our expert and get their insights. Welcome. We're so glad to have you join us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Property is such an important part of the retirement equation for so many people, and I'm happy to share my expertise.
Fantastic. Now, we've already covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, visas, taxes, healthcare, pensions, but now we're really zooming in on that dream of owning a piece of Spanish paradise.
To kick things off, can you give us a broad overview of the legal framework surrounding property ownership in Spain? What are some of the key differences from the UK system that UK retirees need to be aware of?
Well, one of the first things to understand is that Spain operates on a civil law system, which is quite different from the common law system you have in the UK. This means that contracts are interpreted very strictly and there's less reliance on judicial precedent.
So dotting your I's and crossing your T's is even more important in Spain.
Absolutely. Having everything clearly outlined in writing is essential. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of having a Spanish lawyer review any contracts related to property transactions.
So finding a trustworthy lawyer should be right at the top of the to-do list for anyone considering buying property in Spain. Now, can you walk us through the typical steps involved in a property purchase? What's the process like?
Of course. The journey usually starts with finding that dream property. Many people work with estate agents, but you can also search directly through sellers or online platforms.
So you found the place that makes your heart sing. What happens next?
Well, it's common to make a verbal offer, but keep in mind, it's not legally binding at this stage. Once your offer's been accepted, you'll typically sign a reservation contract and pay a reservation fee.
Ah, so that takes the property off the market, right?
Exactly. It gives you time to do your due diligence and finalize the purchase.
Due diligence, that sounds pretty serious. What exactly does that entail?
It's all about making sure there are no hidden surprises with the property. Your lawyer will do a thorough check of the ownership title, making sure everything's legitimate. They'll also check for any outstanding debts or mortgages on the property and verify that all the planning permissions and building regulations are in order.
So it's basically a safety net to protect you from any potential legal or financial issues down the road.
Exactly. It's far better to uncover any problems early on than after you've already invested a significant amount.
Absolutely. So let's say everything checks out during the due diligence process. What's the next step?
If there are no red flags, you'll move on to signing the private purchase contract, which is known as the contrato de compraventa in Spanish. This is the legally binding agreement that outlines all the terms of the sale.
So that's where things get real. What are some of the key things that are included in this contract?
The contract will specify the purchase price, of course, as well as the payment schedule and the completion date.
I imagine a sizable down payment is required at this stage.
Yes. Typically, around 10% of the purchase price is paid as a deposit when you sign the private purchase contract. The remaining balance is paid on completion, which is when the property is officially transferred into your name.
And that takes place at the notary's office.
Exactly.
The notary seems to play a pretty key role in Spanish property transactions.
Absolutely. The notary is a public official who oversees the legal aspects of the sale, making sure everything is done by the book. They also officially register the property in your name at the land registry.
Okay, so the notary adds another layer of security and legitimacy to the process. Now, besides the purchase price itself, what other costs should people factor in when buying property in Spain?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, taxes. There's transfer tax, which is applied to resale properties. The rate varies depending on the region, but it's usually between 6% and 10% of the purchase price.
Wow, that's a pretty significant chunk of change. Anything else?
There's also stamp duty, which is usually around 1.5%. Plus, you'll have legal fees, notary fees, and land registry fees.
So all in all, it's wise to budget for around 10-15% of the purchase price to cover these additional costs.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Now, we've focused on buying so far, but renting is also a popular option, especially for those who are looking for more flexibility or who aren't quite ready to commit to buying.
Right. Renting gives you a chance to try before you buy, get a feel for an area. What's the rental market like in Spain?
It's quite diverse. You've got everything from short-term holiday lets to long-term rentals. And just as with buying, it's crucial to have a written rental contract, or contrato de arrendamiento, as it's called in Spanish. This contract lays out all the terms of the agreement: the length of the rental period, the rent amount, the payment schedule, and the responsibilities of both the landlord and the tenant.
And I imagine having a lawyer review the rental contract is just as important as having them review a purchase agreement, right?
Absolutely. They can make sure your rights are protected and that you're not agreeing to anything that's unfair or unclear.
Okay, good to know. So we've covered buying and renting. Now let's talk about the ongoing responsibilities of actually owning a property in Spain. What kinds of costs and duties come with that?
Well, just like in the UK, there are ongoing costs associated with property ownership. We already mentioned the IBI, the annual property tax. And then you'll have your utilities: electricity, water, gas.
What about community fees? Are those common in Spain?
Yes, very common, especially if you live in an apartment complex or urbanization. Those fees cover the maintenance of the communal areas: gardens, pools, security.
Right, so those need to be factored into the budget as well. Any other responsibilities to be aware of?
Yes, property ownership in Spain comes with a responsibility to maintain your property in good condition, both structurally and aesthetically.
And what about things like renovations or extensions? Are there regulations around those?
Absolutely. You'll need to get planning permission from the local authorities before undertaking any major works. So it's always best to check with your lawyer and make sure you're following the correct procedures.
This has been so insightful. Thank you so much for walking us through all of this.
I agree. Understanding the legal and financial aspects of property in Spain is absolutely crucial for any UK retiree thinking of making the move.
Well, on that note, this brings us to the end of our deep dive into retiring to Spain from the UK. We've really covered the whole spectrum, from the initial appeal to the nitty-gritty details.
And hopefully by now, our listener is feeling much more informed and empowered to make those big decisions about this exciting new chapter.
Absolutely. Remember, thorough planning and expert guidance are your best friends in this journey. Don't be afraid to tap into the resources we mentioned, consult with professionals, and most importantly, embrace the adventure.
Retiring to Spain can be an incredibly rewarding experience.
It's a chance to immerse yourself in a new culture, enjoy a more relaxed lifestyle, and hopefully soak up plenty of that famous Spanish sunshine.
Until next time, happy planning.
Welcome back to your deep dive. We're wrapping up our exploration of retiring to Spain from the UK, and for this final part, we're joined by a leading expert on Spanish property law.
Yes, welcome. We're so excited to have you with us.
This is perfect timing because I'm sure our listener is already picturing themselves in their Spanish casa.
Definitely. And you are the perfect person to help them navigate this exciting but often complex world.
All right, so we've already covered a lot of ground leases, taxes, healthcare, pensions. But now it's time to delve into the exciting but often confusing world of Spanish property.
I think a lot of people have this romantic vision of buying a charming villa in the Spanish countryside or a beachfront apartment with stunning sea views.
Who wouldn't? But before we get carried away by those daydreams, let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Exactly. What are the legal and financial realities of buying and owning property in Spain? What do UK retirees really need to know?
It's a pleasure to be here. Property often plays a central role in the retirement dream, especially for those drawn to Spain.
Absolutely. So, to kick things off, can you give us an overview of the legal framework surrounding property ownership in Spain? Are there any key differences from the UK system that UK retirees need to be aware of?
Well, the first thing to remember is that Spain operates on a civil law system, which is quite different from the common law system in the UK.
Okay, so different legal systems, different rules of the game. What does that mean, practically speaking?
It means that contracts are interpreted very strictly in Spain, and there's less reliance on judicial precedent.
So, dotting your I's and crossing your T's is even more crucial in Spain than it is in the UK.
Absolutely. Having everything clearly outlined in writing is essential. And I honestly cannot stress enough the importance of having a Spanish lawyer review any contracts related to property transactions.
So, finding a trustworthy lawyer should be.
And protect your interests every step of the way.
Okay, so lawyer, check. What about the actual process of buying a property? Can you walk us through the typical steps involved?
Of course. The journey usually starts with finding that dream property. Many people choose to work with estate agents, but you can also search directly through sellers or use online platforms.
Right, so lots of options for finding the perfect place. What happens once you've found a property that you like?
Well, it's common to make a verbal offer, but it's not legally binding at this stage.
So no handshake deals in Spain?
Not when it comes to property. Once your offer has been accepted, you'll usually sign a reservation contract and pay a reservation fee, which typically takes the property off the market while you do your due diligence.
Due diligence? That sounds pretty serious. What exactly does that involve?
It's a crucial step to ensure there are no hidden surprises or potential problems with the property.
So like a property health check?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your lawyer will thoroughly examine the ownership title, making sure everything is legitimate and there are no issues. They'll check for any outstanding debts or mortgages on the property and verify that all the necessary planning permissions and building regulations are in order.
So it's really about protecting yourself from any nasty surprises or legal and financial headaches down the line.
Exactly. It's always better to identify any issues early on rather than after you've already invested a significant amount of money.
Absolutely. So let's say the due diligence process comes back all clear. What's next?
If everything checks out, you'll move on to signing the private purchase contract, which is known as the contrato de compra-venta in Spanish. This is the legally binding agreement that outlines all the terms of the sale, including the purchase price, the payment schedule, and the completion date.
Okay, so that's when things get really official.
And I'm guessing a pretty hefty deposit is required at this point.
Yes. Typically around 10% of the purchase price is paid as a deposit when you sign that private purchase contract. The remaining balance is paid on completion, which is when the property is officially transferred into your name at the notary's office.
Right. We've heard the word notary mentioned a few times now. What role does the notary play in all of this?
The notary is a public official who oversees the legal aspects of the property sale, making sure everything is done by the book and according to Spanish law. They also officially register the property in your name at the land registry.
Okay, so another layer of security and legitimacy in the process. Now, apart from the actual purchase price itself, what other costs should people be prepared for when buying property in Spain?
Taxes, of course.
Ah, yes, those pesky taxes. Can't seem to escape them, can we?
Not really, but it's important to factor them into your budget. One of the main taxes you'll encounter is transfer tax, which applies to resale properties.
Resale properties, so not new builds.
That's right. The rate varies depending on the region, but it typically falls between 6% and 10% of the purchase price.
Wow, that's a significant expense.
Mm.
Are there any other taxes or fees that buyers need to be aware of?
Yes, there's stamp duty, which is usually around 1.5%. Plus, you'll have legal fees, notary fees, and land registry fees.
So it sounds like it's wise to budget for around 10-15% of the purchase price on top of the purchase price itself to cover all these additional costs.
That's a good rule of thumb, yes.
Good advice. Now, we focused mainly on buying a property so far, but we know that renting is also a popular option, especially for people who maybe want to try before they buy, get a feel for an area before committing to a purchase.
Exactly. So what's the rental market like in Spain? What should people know about renting a property?
Spain has a diverse rental market, offering everything from short-term holiday lets to long-term rentals.
And I imagine the legal aspects are just as important with renting as they are with buying.
Absolutely. Huh. Just as with buying a property, having a written rental contract, which is called a contrato de arrendamiento in Spanish, is essential.
So no verbal agreements or handshake deals?
No, not when it comes to renting property in Spain. The rental contract outlines all the key terms of the agreement, including the duration of the rental period, the rent amount, the payment schedule, and the responsibilities of both the landlord and the tenant.
Makes sense. And again, I'm guessing having a lawyer review that rental contract is just as crucial as it is with a purchase agreement.
Absolutely. A lawyer can help ensure that your rights as a tenant are protected and that you're not inadvertently agreeing to anything that could put you at a disadvantage.
Okay, great advice. Now, let's shift gears a bit and talk about the ongoing responsibilities of owning a property in Spain. What kinds of costs and duties should people be prepared for?
Well, just like in the UK, there are ongoing costs associated with property ownership. We already talked about the IBI, which is the annual property tax.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you'll have your regular utilities, electricity, water, gas, all those fun things.
Right. So that's pretty standard. Anything else?
Yes. Community fees are very common in Spain, especially if you live in an apartment complex or an urbanization.
Community fees? What are those exactly?
These fees cover the maintenance of the communal areas. Things like gardens, swimming pools, security, lifts, cleaning services, that sort of thing.
Okay, so if you're sharing amenities, you're sharing the costs of upkeep as well. Makes sense.
So those community fees need to be factored into your budget. Any other responsibilities that come with owning property in Spain?
Yes, property ownership in Spain comes with a responsibility to maintain your property in good condition, both structurally and aesthetically.
So keeping it looking spick and span.
Exactly. And you also need to be aware that there are regulations regarding things like renovations or extensions.
Okay, so you can't just decide to add a second story to your villa without jumping through some hoops.
Not quite. You'll need to get planning permission from the local authorities before undertaking any major works. So it's always best to consult with your lawyer and make sure you're following the correct procedures.
Always good advice. Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today and for sharing your expertise.
Yes, thank you. This information is going to be so valuable to anyone considering buying or renting a property in Spain.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into retiring to Spain from the UK. We've covered a lot of ground, from the initial allure to the practicalities, the visas, the healthcare, the taxes, and of course, the property.
It's been quite a journey, but hopefully by now our listener is feeling much more informed and empowered to make those big decisions about this exciting new chapter.
Absolutely. We've thrown a lot of information at you, but the key takeaways are: do your research, plan carefully, get expert advice, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
And most importantly, enjoy the process. Retiring to Spain can be an incredibly rewarding experience.
It's a chance to embrace a new culture, a more relaxed pace of life, and of course, that beautiful Spanish sunshine.
So until next time, happy planning.